In an age of misinformation, what if Wikipedia is the one information source you can trust? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. When Wikipedia started in 2001, it was meant to be an online encyclopedia free for everyone to use and contribute to. Over the years, the question of Wikipedia's accuracy has been hotly debated. Many journalists are forbidden from using it as their only source, and at any given time, its army of volunteer editors might be fighting a raging battle to make sure that a page contains the truth. That's been happening this week on Wikipedia entries about the coronavirus. But considering the state of information online, Wikipedia's goal of providing free information for no incentive other than information is actually kind of reassuring, assuming it can beat back the trolls. Catherine Marr is chief executive officer of the Wikimedia Foundation, which oversees Wikipedia. I asked her how often the site gets hit by misinformation campaigns.
Absolutely. There are efforts at times where groups of individuals will try to manipulate the quality of the information towards a particular aim. What is interesting is that it actually only takes one person who is tracking that article page to be able to shut that down. And what that means is that we actually have the ability within the system to sort of self-regulate when there's an effort to actively manipulate information.
Is it possible that some of the concern then going forward is less about errors and more about omission?
Absolutely. I think that the editor balance is roughly sort of best numbers 80% male and 20% identify as women. What that leads to is implicit bias in terms of what gets covered and what is deemed as notable. Right now, the content on most Wikipedias, particularly in sort of the subject area of biographies, is skewed towards men. And that's one of those places where Wikipedia editors are actually really interested in trying to correct the record. And there's a number of people across the Wikimedia community and groups that are actively oriented to writing women into history. The reason this matters so much is a lot of those products that are coming out of the technology sector today are trained on Wikipedia. So if you have a database that overrepresents men or overrepresents certain concepts like science to be associated with men, what you're actually doing is encoding those biases into the world around you.
How do you see the role of Wikimedia right now as having evolved in a significant way as sort of politics and culture really shift around the idea of truth around what a fact is?
It's funny. When I started at Wikimedia Foundation, I always thought, oh, this job will be so interesting. I never expected it to be quite so relevant, you know, relevant to the conversation around the future of technology, relevant to the conversation around the future of information, relevant to the conversation around the future of trust. I think what has changed for us is we've gone from being sort of a website on the internet to a way in which the world records itself. We've become much more of a sort of central record of information that underpins the knowledge infrastructure of the web. It belongs to everyone. And, you know, we have a responsibility to make sure that that stays that way.
I want to shift to how you guys pay the bills at the Wikimedia Foundation. We've all obviously had the experience. You know, there's the public radio model and the public contribution.
Yes.
And the donation model. Is that the primary way that you accrue revenue?
Yeah, we have a lot in common with public radio in that we, every year at the end of the year, we ask our readers to donate to Wikipedia. And we're incredibly fortunate that I think around 8 million people donate every year, an average of $15. That makes up about 85% of our total contributions. The remainder are primarily from major donors, so people who give a little bit more than $15, and philanthropic foundations. So we are entirely nonprofit and entirely donor-driven as an organization. But what's interesting to me is actually fewer than 1% of our total readers give. Although we think of ourselves as very much a public-supported organization, given how many people read Wikipedia all over the globe, it's still a pretty exceptional group of individuals who make sure that it keeps running year in and year out.
Catherine Marr is chief executive officer of the Wikimedia Foundation, which oversees Wikipedia. Last month, Wikipedia announced that it had more than 6 million articles in English on the site. The 6th millionth article is by a woman and about a woman, a 19th century schoolteacher and author. out for some related links. You can hear or read more from Catherine Marr in this podcast she did back in 2018. She talked about some of these same issues, and just go ahead and skip right ahead to my favorite part, where she talks about how they had to ban Congress from editing Wikipedia because, she says, quote, Congress is notorious for vandalizing Wikipedia. For shame, elected officials and your overeager staffers. For shame. And Marr made an interesting argument in the New York Times last year about not over-relying on artificial intelligence to solve our problems, but using it to augment the work of humans and not replace it. Both of those links are on our website, marketplacetech.org. But speaking of AI and Wikipedia, there is a fascinating story in Motherboard this week about how a little army of about 1,600 bots are actually writing articles for Wikipedia in various languages. And that might be the reason why the second largest Wikipedia in the world is written in Cebuano, which is a language that is spoken in the southern Philippines. This is a fact I learned on Wikipedia. And even though only about 15 million people speak this language, there are more than 5 million articles on the Cebuano Wikipedia. And apparently, most of those articles are the work of one single very busy bot. There is evidently some controversy about this within the Wikimedia community, but Motherboard said it reviewed about 1,000 of the articles the bot wrote and said they were, quote, surprisingly well constructed. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.